Defiance, Ohio is a small city. It lacks that big name recognition of Toledo, 55 miles to the northeast. And with only about 16,000 and a half residents, it's the kind of place that probably doesn't make its way onto big city news that often. But during one summer in the early 70s, Defiance defied its obscurity, growling and snarling its way right into the headlines. Now, here at Lore, our team pages through a lot of old newspaper articles. So when we see a headline like this, let's just say we stop and take notice. It says, "Werewolf Case in Defiance, Not Viewed Lightly by Police." That was the headline that graced the front page of the Toledo Blade on August 3rd of 1972. And it didn't stop there. On page 24, another headline read, "Defiance Residents Suspicious of Their Werewolf." It seems that Defiance, Ohio had a bit of a lycanthropy problem. "Three persons have told police," the Blade said, "that they saw a large beast that resembled a werewolf lurking among railroad tracks near downtown Defiance in the last week." All these cases, it seems, were in the early morning, too. The first of which had taken place on July 25th, when a railroad laborer named Ted Davis was working on the Norfolk and Western train line in the wee hours of the morning, just before the sun had risen. "I was connecting an air hose between two cars," Ted told the paper, "and was looking down, and I saw these huge, hairy feet. Then I looked up, and he was standing there, with that big stick over his shoulder. When I started to say something, he took off for the woods." That big stick, as Ted had put it, seemed to be a 2x4, which the creature used, some sources claim later, to strike poor Ted Davis on the shoulder. Later that same week, Davis and fellow railroad worker Tom Jones were working in the same area again. It was 3 a.m., and I imagine the summer air was muggy and thick. Another long night, no doubt, for men accustomed to long nights. But this night was different, because suddenly they saw the same hairy creature crawling through some nearby bushes. Before they could pursue it, it vanished into the dark. A week later, it ran in front of a driver's car at 4 in the morning, and then disappeared again. Mind you, all three of these encounters were reported to the police, who actually took it seriously. After all, whether it was a werewolf or not, you can't have someone running around and threatening people with 2x4s in the middle of the night. And as the reports rolled in, so too did the descriptions. The thing was bipedal and humanoid, but not quite human. There were the huge hairy feet, for one, and the long fangs. Apparently, it loomed a good 8 feet tall, and it moved in a strange side-to-side motion, which one of the witnesses described as looking like, and I quote, "a caveman in movies." And it wasn't just the feet that were hairy, though those were what Ted had noticed first. No, the entire creature was covered in hair, and it had a head like a wolf. "At first, I thought the whole thing was a big joke," Tom Jones told reporters, "but when I saw how hairy and woolly it was, that was enough for me." Oh, and here's my favorite detail. This particular werewolf must have been, well, a modest one. You see, it just so happened to be wearing a pair of blue jeans. The police, of course, thought that it was a person in a costume, though the culprit's motive was never fully clear. It all seemed too violent to be a prank, and yet the attacks didn't target people who would have money or anything to steal, making robbery an unlikely motive too. Whether it was a human in disguise or a bona fide beast, the thing was clearly dangerous, and naturally, panic spread. One neighborhood woman, who lived not far from the tracks, was so terrified by the very prospect of a creature that she called the police after she fell into what she reportedly called a state of shock. Then there were the local children, who were all abuzz with big dreams of werewolf hunting. To be fair, most of the adults shrugged it off. This was a safe neighborhood, after all, and heavily populated. In fact, these sightings took place only blocks from the police station. Surely the werewolf, or werewolf imposter, couldn't do that much harm. Don't get me wrong, just because most people weren't threatened didn't mean the werewolf was, well, popular. Some speculated that he wasn't even a local, but was riding into town on one of the trains each night to cause mischief. Townsfolk started boasting about how they planned to shoot the thing on sight. One woman called the police because something was scratching at her door and said if it got inside, she would shoot it. Another resident said, "If I see him, the police are going to find out who he is. That's because they'll have to take him to the hospital to get the buckshot out." Luckily for the werewolf, that never came to pass, because as quickly as they started, the sightings suddenly stopped. Maybe whoever it was got spooked by the mounting threat of being shot, or simply got their kicks and then tired of the prank. Or maybe it really was a creature who simply moved along, climbed aboard the late-night train, and traveled to the next town. The next story. Whatever the case may be, the Werewolf of Defiance was never seen again. At least, not in real life. The stories, however, are another matter. The Defiance Werewolf has since morphed into a bona fide part of Ohio folklore. And not unlike, well, a werewolf, the stories too have shifted shape, sprouted fur and teeth and howling. The story that's told now is one of two railroad workers laboring in the middle of the night by lonesome tracks when a hairy, fanged creature leaps out and attacks them, claws gleaming under the light of the full moon. We know that this isn't exactly how it happened, and yet, there's one more detail that does make us wonder. Remember how the werewolf was first seen on July 25th, and then seen throughout the week? Well, we looked up the moon phases for that week in 1972. And the full moon? It just so happened to be Wednesday, July 26th. This episode of Lore Bites was produced by me, Aaron Mankey, and was written and researched by Jenna Rose Nethercott, with music by Chad Lawson. Lore Bites are a perk offered only to our Patreon and Apple Podcast paid subscribers as a thank you for such generous support. Look for new episodes each Wednesday morning. Be sure to follow the show on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Just search for Lore Podcast, all one word, and then click that follow button. And when you do, say hi. I like it when people say hi. And as always, thanks for listening.